Mother's Day is pretty special, and oh, thank you. Mother's Day is pretty special, and one of the things that I want to say is for my mom who just came in late because they got lost on the way here. Yes. I love you, Mom. And to my honey, I love you, sweetie. I love you. Mother's Day is really special, isn't it? It's a chance for us to be together with family and you know, let's just open with a prayer of thankfulness. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for what you are doing in our lives, Lord. Father, we're thankful that we get to be here together and share this time together, Lord. We're thankful that we get to appreciate our moms. We're thankful that motherhood was by your design, God. And we've seen the value of our moms in our lives, Lord, and we are so grateful for them, and we thank you for them. Father, we would just ask that you would be with us today. Lord, move amongst your people today. I pray that you would work through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would speak through your word and through prayer. So, Father, we offer this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're finishing our last week in the series of Why Church? Growing a Healthy Church. And we've looked at everything from the area of leadership and how we work through challenges and problems, our hearts towards each other through the good times, through the hard times. We've looked at what it means to be the church family, and that the church from the very beginning was God's design. And in Ephesians 5:25, it says, Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. So we know that from the very beginning, God has valued the church. It's his chosen vehicle. When he thought, I want my truth to come to the people for years and years to come, I want to reach people with my truth. His design was the church. And the church, once again, is not the building, it's the people of God. And we are called to live and be a part of what God is doing, and we get to be God's ambassadors. We get to be the ones that go and share about what God has done in our lives. We get to be the ones to go out and love on people and encourage people. And here Paul is, the scripture that we're going to take to today is from Ephesians 3:14 through 21. And as you look at Ephesians 3:14 through 21, I did want to kind of give verse 13 a little bit of a notice here, because Paul is concerned with what's happening in the church here. And he says in verse 13, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. He's worried because they're discouraged. The church there is discouraged. The people are discouraged. And I want to ask you guys, have you ever been in a place where you've been really discouraged about where you are personally? Or maybe you've been at a place where you're discouraged about where we are as a church family. And you're wondering, where do I fit in? And how does it all work? Or maybe at work or in different relationships. And there comes a time in our lives where we start asking questions about how does this all fit in? And he's saying, you know what? Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. And I want to encourage you guys, as you come to a place in your lives, if you're struggling with losing heart, struggling with your faith, we're here as a church to encourage each other in our love for God and our love for each other, and to encourage your faith. And to help us, guys, it's a journey, isn't it? Faith is a journey, and we are on this journey, and it is not an easy one. It is not an easy one. In all areas of our lives, there's challenges, aren't there? And God does not want us to lose heart.
And so as Paul's coming up here, he says in verse 14, for this reason, and he goes into a prayer. And he talks about this, gives us a prayer. And I want us to look at that prayer this morning. You know, one of the things I think is so important, last week, as we were coming ready, as we're finishing up on our series, we looked at the Word of God and the value of the Word. And what is the Word? And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we can't talk about church without talking about Jesus Christ and the power of His Word and knowing Him through His Word. But I think we also need to end in a way that is where our strength and our power and where our connection to God continues to grow and where we find healing for our wounds. Healing for our wounds. I don't know if you've noticed today, I'm all scratched up. I've got scratches everywhere. I was helping, Thomas and I went over and with some of the family, actually, who's many of who are here? And we went to my mom's, as it's Mother's Day, and Lloyd's. And as we were over there, we got to do some fun work, but I got all scraped up. Julie looked at my scrapes this morning, and she was like, we need to get some Neosporin on that. It's starting to fester. The wounds of life will start to fester. Spiritually, emotionally, relationally. And I want us, as we come to this prayer, I want us to be saying, where do we go with the brokenness in our lives? Where do we go when we're struggling in our faith? Where do we go as we're looking for God's calling for this church? Where do we go? And I believe, as last week, to the Word, and as this week, to God in prayer. The power of prayer. Verse 14 says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. For this reason, for what reason? Because they were struggling. Because they're struggling, he says, I kneel before the Father. And one of the things I think it's important to know here is in the culture of that time for the Jewish people and those who were coming to Christ, it wasn't commonplace for them to kneel and pray. How they prayed back then was standing up with their arms before God. And it wasn't unless there was something that was really, really intense and really serious that the people would get together and they would actually bow and sometimes prostrate themselves. But that they would bow before God. That was very uncommon. And he's saying, I kneel before the Father. He's saying, guys, this is so important for us, our heart, to come before God, from whom His whole family in heaven on earth derives its name. First thing is, Paul begins with prayer, doesn't he? When there's trouble, when there's hardship, when things are coming, where does Paul start? He starts with prayer. Prayer was the essential ingredient for Paul to bring in when he's dealing with faith that's struggling. And it was, it goes on to say, from whom His whole family in heaven on earth derives its name. In other words, God is a father. He's the perfect heavenly Father. As I want you to picture this. All of us have fathers. Some of us have wonderful fathers. Some of us have fathers that are doing better than their dads. So none of us have perfect fathers, right? My children are shaking their heads. That's right. None of us have perfect fathers. We all have a perfect heavenly Father. We all do. And when we are struggling, we can turn to our perfect heavenly Father. We can come to Him. And it says in verse 16, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. As you know, we're all very aware of what the outer being is, aren't we? How many trillions of dollars has mankind spent on the outer being? We've got the lipstick and Even on the way here, I saw one woman putting on her lipstick while she was driving. She looked like she was going to church, but she was working on the outer person, the outer being, the outer man. And so, you know, but we've got hairspray, hair gel, hair, you name, goop, scoop, gunk. We've got it all. We focus so much attention on the outer man. If you turn on the TV at night, if it goes a little bit later, there's like 100 different commercials of how this product will make your body just the way you want it, no matter what. Your boy, I tell you, all you need is this stuff. We all know what it means to be about taking care of the outer man. But what's meant by the inner man, the inner being, as this version puts it in the NIV? I pray that out of his glorious riches, first of all, he may strengthen you with power. Through what? Through his spirit in your inner being. Paul says that the outer man is perishing. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, the outer man is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. By who? By God. God is renewing the inner man. If we're following him, if we're in relationship with him, if we're seeking him, if we're spending time in his word, if we're on our knees in prayer, it says that he is out of his glorious riches. Just think about that. Out of what? His glorious riches. In other words, he has so much to give. So much, and I'm not talking physical blessing. I'm talking about the whole person. The spiritual, emotional, relational. He has so much to give us. There is so much blessing. And it's his glorious riches. He's got so much to give that if he keeps giving, we can't handle all he can give. He loves us. He knows us. The inner man here is the spirit. The spirit in me connects with the Holy Spirit. God is speaking into me, into us. Have you become dispirited in your faith? Have things happened where you're starting to question things, where you've got confusion, maybe not even about your personal faith, but about what in the world is God doing in your life? If God is so loving and powerful and caring, what in the world? Has anybody taken a look? Some of you maybe just, I was talking to a friend just a little over a week ago, and one of the things we were talking about with each other was how good it is to be real with God. How good it is to say, God, you know what? I don't get it. And you know what? I'm mad. And I think I'm mad at you. I look at my life and I've got these questions, I've got these concerns, and I don't see you moving here, or I don't understand what you're doing. Just like the Psalms, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. Why have you kept yourself far from me? Why is your face hidden from me? As God wants us to be real with him in prayer when we come. Don't pray the prayer of, you know, the prayer that we pray that we're supposed to sound like when we want to be the good child, right? The spiritual person who is saying what they're supposed to say, not being real with God. God, thank you so much. Right, that's what I'm for this mess. Because what happens when we pray how we think we're supposed to sound? We're not being real with God. We're not being intimate. We're not meeting him. He's not. There's no connection. Because we're trying to put on this front like we do with other people. But see, God knows. God sees all of it. And he knows more than we know about ourselves. When we fooled ourselves, he knows the truth. And so when we come to him open and broken in prayer and say, God, I am hurting and I need help and I don't see you. I need you here. His glorious riches come in. and he strengthens us with power, his power, through his Spirit in our inner being. God himself, the creator of all, is speaking into us. That's glorious riches right there, guys. That's glorious riches. And one of the things that sticks out to me about this is it starts with God. It doesn't start with us. We receive what he does, but it starts with him. We receive the gift and the blessings, but it starts with him out of his glorious riches. He strengthens us with his power through his Spirit. And then it goes on to say in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Why does he strengthen? Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Is your faith struggling? Maybe you're believing a lie. If you're struggling in your faith, maybe you're believing a lie. The lie that this is too much, this situation is greater than Christ in you. I would say you're absolutely right, that if you're in a very difficult situation, it may be greater than you, or the challenge that you're going through may be greater than you. That's possibly true. But it's not greater than Christ in you. And so if we believe the lie that this situation is more than I can handle, you ever been there where the cup is full and one more drop causes all this to come crashing out of the sides? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Jesus is with you, and he promises he won't leave you. He won't leave you. No matter what you're going through, no matter, guys, think about that. You are not alone.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that as men share with me, one of the things that is about different things that they're going through, different challenges, one of the things that is always amazing to me is when somebody shares with me about what they're going, it's something that somebody else has shared with me. And not usually, it's many people have shared with me about similar things. We all are struggling, but Jesus says he won't leave us. He won't leave us. No matter what you're going through, you have a Savior who has suffered. Guys, when you pray to God, you pray to a God who knows what you're going through. Think about that. You're not praying to this out distant, out there being that has no idea what it means to suffer. You're praying to a personal God who knows more than you of what it's like to suffer. Because how much suffering is it for someone who is without sin? And yet, spit on, lied to, lied about. Tossed aside. God of all creation humbled himself, lived a perfect life without sin, was rejected by men. Even the guys that were closest to him, even those disciples, when he turns to his right and to his left, where are they? I'm not with Jesus. They're running for the corners, the dark areas. They're trying not to be seen when it comes down to it. Because they hadn't been changed yet from the inside out. Jesus says he won't leave us in the struggle. No matter what you're going through, Jesus is with you. Continues in verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how high, how wide, how long, and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with a measure of all fullness, all the fullness of God. And with the truth of faith, God's truth being revealed to you by faith, you are now rooted and established in love. I love that picture. Rooted. As we were at my mom's yesterday, one of the things we took out was this tree. It was, what, about 60 feet? About 60 feet high, the tree? Maybe somewhere around there. And maybe a little taller. I'm not sure. But it was leaning, and it was leaning to where it was going to crash down on eventually on the cars or right on the house. So it's leaning towards the house, and I was given the task of being in charge of making sure it fell away from the house and away from the cars. And so we got it cut right. We got a rope on it. Why? Because it was rooted in the wrong direction. It didn't have the proper, it wasn't set. And so here it's saying, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love, what's our foundation? The love of Christ. That's our foundation. That's where we come to the issues of life, to the challenges that are before us, to the hardships, to the broken relationships. Being rooted and established in love may have what? May have what? Power. That's a big word, isn't it? Try running a radio without batteries or plugging it in. Try running anything that uses power that's not plugged into the power. It's useless. It's a box. It's a thing. It has no purpose without the power. When you're plugged into the power, Christ, through the Holy Spirit in us, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and Christ is in me, the life I live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Because he's in me, now I have the power to face what I have to face. So I got to be in the truth of where I am and who I am in Christ, right? And not be living in the lie. Being rooted and established in love may have power together with who? With all the saints. Together with all the saints. May have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Guys, we're not to be private. We're not to be private. One of the things that really stuck out to me when we came back from Uganda was how many backyards are full and front yards are empty. How many fences? When we go home, guess what? We're having the gang over to our house, the family over our house. Guess where we're going to be at? The backyard. Now the kids will be playing in the front because there's the basketball courts and in the driveway. But you know, so often we're a backyard community. Everything is about that separation. There's some great ministries. One of them's called Front Porch Ministries. I love that. The whole idea of we're on the front porch being available to people. Looking to serve, looking to be involved with others, looking to bless. And there, it says together with all the saints. One of the things I love about that is we're together with all the saints. That means cultures don't separate us. Guys, look around. Cultures don't separate us. Backgrounds don't separate us. Economic standing doesn't separate us. We're all the saints. We come together. Once more, the sign outside and in the back there, a diversity of cultures unified in Jesus Christ. We're together in Christ. Man looks at the outside and tries to separate. Christ speaks in through his spirit to our spirit and unites us for his purpose. May have power together with all the saints to grasp what? How great we are? How great our calling is? How we've got this great, and God chose us, and it's about us, and let's find a way to make it about really me. I'll say us, but we mean me, right? The heart of man selfishly wants it to the world to revolve around me. And here's saying, may have power together with all saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. To make it about Jesus, about what he's done, what he is doing, what he will do. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. I love that. To know the love that's... So we know what can't be what? Known. Right? We get to know what can't be known. The love of Christ. A love which surpasses what? Knowledge. So we get to know what cannot possibly be known. See, according to the flesh, we can't know. Have you ever shared with somebody and they don't know Jesus personally, and you're trying to share about your love for God, and they're looking at you like you're a little off your rocker? Because crazy person. I'm talking to a crazy person. They love this thing they can't see. When we know what can't be known, man, it's humbling, isn't it? To know the love of Christ. That's intimate and personal. He knows us personally. We're not private. We're called to be with the saints, loving Christ together. Our greatest joy is that we get to love God back. Guys, it's not about duty. It's not about doing the right thing because we're supposed to, you know, after this week, guess what our next series is? The book of James. Faith in action, where the rubber meets the road, baby. Here we go. You say you want to talk about it, I want to see it. You say talk about your faith by what you talk about with your mouth. No, I want to see it by the actions in your life. It's kind of the other side of the coin, isn't it? Real faith not only changes us inwardly, it changes. So now, because we're changed inwardly, our response is not out of duty, but our response is a desire to love back. Fenton, how long you been married?
3 years.
3 years. Still at the beginning, right? 3 years in. How great is it when you get a call from your wife? Amen? How? A little bit of honesty, baby. I love it. How great is it when you get a call that makes you smile from your wife? How great is it to get a call when you've done something right? You know, when you're... Julie and I have been married 22 years. I still love getting calls from my honey. There's that joy. The one who knows me, loves me. Your wife, she knows 98% of my faults. Right? To be known and to be loved. To be known and to be loved. And to know this love that surpasses, verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Filled to full. Filled to full means not beyond full. Have you ever had too much in a meal? What do you feel? I feel like a beached whale. I just, you know, I can't move. Thanksgiving, what is it about Thanksgiving? I don't know. Anyway, but what about filled to full? Just right full. Filled to full. And to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of what? Of God. Because it's not out of duty, it's out of love. And there's such a blessing there, because you can't demand that someone loves you. I mean, think about that for a moment. You can't demand to be loved. Love me! Doesn't work, does it? It's actually a little psychotic. Right? It's scary when somebody demands to be loved. Right? We get, we think about it. Yeah! We get to love God back. It's a choice we make. And we get to, as we receive through our spirit, from His Spirit, God Himself. He's speaking to our spirit, being replaced by the lies and the junk, being replaced, and now it's the truth and the love of God that is filling us. And now we have a clear mind to say, this is what I need to do. This is the right. This is how I can love back. And you know what? Sometimes it will be received. Sometimes it won't. But at least our hearts can be whole in the process. We don't have to be broken beyond measure, because His fullness is in us, that you may be filled to the full, filled to the measure of all fullness of God. He made us to be vessels wholly filled and flooded with God Himself, being filled with His Holy Spirit. That's where God's in control of our lives, guys. God's in control of our lives. Do you think that your plans are better than God's plans for your life? Do we often live as though our plans are better than God's plans? If there's anybody here who thinks that this is not for you, this is really, really for you. I really mean it. It's really for you. God has plans for your life. He has a specific plan. As we talked about before, He has gifted you for what He has prepared for you to do. And when you use the gifting that He gave you at the point of salvation, now guess what happens? The fullness and the measure of, you can't fully know Christ without being used by God, is where this is going. You can't fully know God Himself until it's changing you from the inside out, to where now what flows is out of love, and now there's passion and pleasure in serving God. And now what you used to value becomes strangely dim. And what you value is what God values, because He's in you. And so now, man, here we are. Now when the trouble comes, now, whether it's received or not, we get to love back. We get to serve. I love it that right now downstairs, we've got a whole bunch of guys which are outside of their comfort zone. Because it's Mother's Day. They need the full measure of Christ. Right now, downstairs, start praying. Verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more. That's why I titled the message Immeasurably More. I love that. Beyond measure, more. Beyond what we can, I think in math, I think in, logical. Logic makes sense to me. It makes sense. Immeasurably more. Logic is beautiful. And yet it ties us up time and time again. Because God works outside, over, on top of, through, around logic. He works immeasurably more. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I can imagine a whole bunch. And my idea of what God is going to do is so small. Because as soon as I see hardship, guess what? I make it about me. As soon as I see the struggle in a relationship and there's tension, now it's about me. And my will and what I want here. But immeasurably more means what? It means that even if the other person doesn't respond, guess what? My heart can be right. And I can be whole. And it doesn't have to keep me in bondage. Because it's not. Or if the other person receives it immeasurably more, why? Why? Because now we're coming to, we might even still disagree. But immeasurably more because now we're together in Christ. With friends, in marriage, at work. It changes things, guys. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And now it's leading us into the right area. Ask or imagine. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Guess what? His church can do immeasurably more than all that all of us can ask for or even what we could possibly imagine. And the things that you think are only bad, God is using to bring blessing. I want you to think about that for a minute. Someone, when you're struggling with a sickness, do you think of blessing? Of course not. It's not the first thing we naturally think of. But how many times has God worked through someone's sickness and brought blessing to many? And you see the hand of God and you think, my goodness, if I hadn't gone through this time of suffering, these people over here would not have been blessed. This person wouldn't have come to the Lord. God used that mess in my life to bless immeasurably more. Through the church. And what happens when the church stops being what God has to work around and it starts being what God works through? Yeah. What happens then? Because now the church is unleashed with the power to do immeasurably more. Rather than God saying, okay, we have another season of working around these guys. Guys, I don't want to have any more seasons of God working around me personally. I don't want to have any more seasons of God having to work around us corporately as a family. I want God to work through us. And I know that's your heart. Immeasurably more. According to his power. I love that. Not ours. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about what we can muster up and pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and get. We're going to get this done, guys. We just need to dig a little harder. We need to build our Tower of Babel just a little bit higher. Got to get above the clouds. Didn't work out too well for the Tower of Babel, did it? Won't work out very well for us if we try and do it. If we try and show, look at what I can accomplish, it comes crashing down. According to his power that is at work within us. Do you believe that God's at work within you? Because if you don't, you're believing a lie. From the pit of hell. If something in your life is greater than what you can go through, greater than you, yes, greater than Christ in you, no. If something is so great that you're undone, you're believing a lie from the pit of hell. And we need to stop getting stuck. Not just for moments. We all get stuck for moments. It's part of humanity. But what about when the moment hits moments? Many moments. You know, one of the hardest things for me is as I speak with people, and what hurts my heart more than most things is when you're hearing from someone and they're talking about old pain and they're still living in that day and you realize they've been stuck there for a lifetime. And they've never gotten out. That's not immeasurably more, guys. See, the truth is that what was done to them or what they experienced or the bad choices they made, the sin that messed everything up, whatever it was, what they did is not who they are in Christ Jesus. They are immeasurably more. He is immeasurably more in them. What does Romans 8:1 say? Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I love that it sat out there like a matzo ball, just waiting to get it. I love that it was hanging out there, waiting. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. Guys, if you're stuck and imprisoned in the either what was done to you or what you did in the past, that's sin. That's sin. And God wants immeasurably more for you than that. According to His power that is work within us, to Him be glory in the church. Guys, this church needs to be all about the glory of God, not about the work of us. Not about my ministry, your ministry. Which one's getting funded, by the way? Do we have more funds for, you know, we should actually say, your ministry is nice, but my ministry really touches people. So how can I, maybe I should go to the elders, and how can I get money taken away from here to go here? Right? We can start playing God, right? We start making about my will, what I want. And not only that, but it needs to be done now. I always love that. I always love that because it's... How often do we see from Scripture that God doesn't work according to man's timing? And yet, we don't learn the lessons from Scripture, which is, this is God's will, and it's now. Because I have spoken. Guys, it's about God, His will, His timing, His path. We need to humble ourselves to His work. I can't tell you, as a pastor of a church, this is unbelievably difficult. I want things to happen a certain way at a certain time, and I see. And God says, easy, tiger. Actually, that's not my will. Is it your will for us later? I'll tell you later. Can I get a little something here? What have I called you to today? Be faithful in what I've called you to today. Be faithful in the small things. Yeah, but God, I've got big plans. No, no, no. Your plans are so small. What you can think of and imagine, tiny. That's the problem, Matthew. You're thinking so small. Get your eyes off yourself. See me. If you focus on me, my plan becomes clearer. Don't focus on my plan. Focus on me. Yeah, but... No, no, stop. Not but. Just yeah. Just yeah. Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Throughout what? All generations. That includes us. Just in case there were some people who were thinking of the thoughts of, well, that was nice for the church back then in Ephesus. No, for what? All generations. So this is truth for us. Just in case you've got one of those minds that wants to, well, that's for them, and that's for them, and that's, I get to do my thing. No, it's for us. It's for all generations, forever and ever. Just in case all generations wasn't clear enough, ever and ever and ever. Okay. I love Paul, because he says it again, and then he says it again, and then he says it again, because you weren't listening the first 18 times. So, it's for us, guys. It's for us that it's about God. It's for us that the church is God's work that He chose to do that he's allowing us to be a part of. If we receive it, he works through us. If we don't receive it, he works around us. That's it. Which means, at least for a moment, I'm either working with God or I'm working against God and his plans. I want to work with God. And I got to be honest with you, at times I don't know what that means. And what does Scripture say? That's when we go to prayer. That's when we go to prayer and we throw ourselves down and we pray deep. God, I am so confused and I don't get it. And I need you to reveal your heart to me. I want to know. You know me. This is my junk. I'm going to be real with you. This is me. I need you in me. I surrender this area that I know is keeping me from you deeper. I give it to you. My prayer is that every person in here has one or two or 10 things that you're holding on to, whether they're old or new, and they're keeping you from keeping me from experiencing God. Not just what he's going to, God himself. Himself. We can experience him more and more through prayer, through knowing his word, through being in his word, through growing, through humbling ourselves and being in prayer for others. We need to get our eyes off of ourselves onto God himself and see him work. And then guess what happens? We stop thinking. We stop thinking that we need to do more, because why? God's already doing more than what we can imagine. And we're like, what in the world is going on? What just happened? I was just used by God. Even me. I was used by God. That was really cool. Have you had those moments where you were supernaturally used by God? And you step back and you're like, whoa. God is awesome. It's incredible. We get lost, and he is seen. His glory is revealed. And we have one of those moments where it's not about us at all. It's all about him and his will and his love and his power. Just think about that, the power of God. I want to end with this. How many times, Mom, how many times did you look at a screw-up in my life and think, oh, Lordy, 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 Lordy. Both my brothers are here. My oldest brother, GR, my other brother, Bart. I'm glad you guys are here. You want to know the worst of me? They know. I mean, they know. I was the screw up. I was the one who broke. I was the one who kept pushing. I was the one who kept trying to find the way around the system. Can you believe it? Don't say that you can too quickly. Okay, an hour with the pastor this week, right now, okay? Oh my goodness. Think about that. They know me. A mother's heart, how often does a mother go to prayer for her child? And the only thing that a mother can do at that point is pray. And that's not the only thing. That is the thing. And my encouragement would be, moms, dads, everyone, all of us, that mother's heart that a mother has for their child, let that lead not as the last thing, but the first thing that we go to for things to be made right is prayer. In the truth of God's word. And I think of that mother's love. I saw it growing up, but I see it in my wife with our children. Mother's love You want to see Mama Bear angry? Come at her cubs. Right? Moms, can you identify? A mother's love for her children. And when mothers pray, God moves. When mothers pray, when people pray, God moves. And God's power works through. And not only is that one life changed, but other lives are blessed and encouraged. And then it starts... See, God does immeasurably more. We pray for the one, and the one blesses many. We pray for the three, we pray for the four, we pray... And the blessings keep going immeasurably more. You see, something happens. We're into addition and God's into multiplication. We think so small and God thinks so big. Let's pray first. Let's pray now. Let's close in prayer. Lord, your word is awesome. Your word is just sweet. It's something that we want to have more of because it satisfies not only the moment, but it satisfies the soul. It's an ongoing, a building satisfaction. Where our needs and our brokenness, it fills in the cracks. The truth of your word brings blessing where we were living according to the lie. God, we just thank you for those who have prayed for us. Lord, I think of so many who have prayed for me. I think of so many that I get to pray for, and that it's your power coming in and bringing blessing. God, I pray that this church would so value prayer that it would change what we do. It would change how we live. It would change how we respond to you. Lord, that we would so desire to be in step with your Holy Spirit that even on the small things, we would seek your counsel and leading and wisdom and blessing. God, forgive us and forgive me for trusting me. Forgive us for trusting us. We all fall short. But you do not. You are immeasurably more than we can begin to imagine. Lord, we rest in you. We rest in you because we trust you and not ourselves. So we rest in your love and in your truth. I pray that today would be a day that would bless many, 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 many families. As people, Lord, I pray that it'd be on our hearts. Even if there's some people here who are not speaking with their mothers, Lord, may today be a day of forgiveness. Because your truth is coming in and we're responding to the truth of your word. The truth of your word says forgive, so we would forgive. Lord, we pray for the healing of anyone here who's hurting. And for those, Lord, whose mothers have passed away and there's still brokenness, Lord, I pray that there would be a supernatural forgiveness which would take place. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. We're grateful for it. It's the greatest riches of all. It's you, knowing who you are, seeing you in our lives, experiencing you in truth and in love. Lord, we pray that we would give that love away unselfishly. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful family. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, wonderful family. We are so grateful. Unite us more and more in your truth and love. Do, Lord, I pray that we would do less and we would be more. Be more of you so that your work does so much more. Who you are does the work for us, Lord. in spirit and in truth. We pray that you would be honored and glorified in what we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.